I tell you, I love Sunday mornings. I look so forward to it, being with all of you and being able to fellowship around His Word and in song and with each other. Boy, I tell you, it is so exciting to be able to come to church. You know, I don't understand people who don't want to come to church. You know, there is no place I'd rather be. You know, I mean, the beach is nice and all that, and the parks are nice and so forth, but I tell you one thing, I'd rather be right here, amen? And I'd rather be in church, worshiping my God, and worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, and learning the Word of God. We're going to be back in the book of Titus now this morning, so I want you to take your Bible, and we've got probably three or four more messages, and we're going to be done with this little book of Titus. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to go back to Titus chapter 2, verse 13. We've already covered this chapter, and we're going to go into chapter 3, but before we go into chapter 3, the last chapter, and I'm probably only going to have two or three messages on chapter 3, but I want to really focus on a verse, Titus chapter 2. And let's read together verse 13. Ready? Looking for that blessed hope. We're reading it together, by the way, all right? Titus 2:13, read it with me. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in this verse that we're looking for something. Have you ever looked forward to something with expectation? You know, maybe it was a vacation. Maybe it was your wedding day. Maybe it was the birth of your child, maybe it was somebody coming to visit your house. You ever had somebody coming to visit you at your house? Well, that's a dumb question. When you live in Daytona Beach, everybody wants to come visit you, right? You know, you find out you had friends you never had when you moved to Daytona Beach, but everybody wants to come visit you in Daytona. But, you know, have you ever had somebody that you actually look forward to them coming to visit you? And you were eagerly anticipating them pulling up in your driveway, and you were anticipating, you know, that hug, that reunion, that time that you could have together in fellowship. Maybe you haven't seen them in a long time, mom, dad, or a special friend, and they're coming to visit you, and man, I mean, you are looking so forward to it. You are awaiting their arrival with great expectation. That's the idea here of verse 13. Is that we are looking for something. And that word looking means I'm looking with great expectation. I am looking for something here to happen. What am I looking to happen? Well, he says looking for that blessed hope and the glorious what? Appearing. The glorious appearing of who? Well, he describes Jesus Christ two ways in this verse. And that's very common if you read your Bible, that you'll find that for clarity, you know, God will do this often in His Word. For instance, many times He'll do it in regards to the Father. Like in Galatians 1:4, He talks about according to the will of God and our Father. And that's what He does here. He's describing Jesus Christ in two different ways. He says, we're looking for the glorious appearing. Number one, he says, of the great God. He describes Jesus Christ. This is a great verse on the deity of Christ. Jesus Christ is the great God. He is not only the great God, he was not only God in the flesh, and now he's God risen from the dead, now he's been exalted in heaven, but the Bible says there's going to be a glorious appearing of him, and he's called the great God, and then I like this, it's very personal, look at that verse there. He says the great God, but then notice how personal, and what? Our Savior. Our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting here, he talks about Christ appearing. I want to show you this morning a little chart that may be a help to you. And this chart, I've just entitled it Christ Appearances. Because we're talking this morning about the appearing of Christ. Obviously, he says that we as the church, the body of Christ, we are looking for His appearing. So, what's this thing about Christ appearing? I thought He already appeared. Well, if you look up here on the chart, I'm going to show you the various appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bring up the first one here. you'll notice that Christ first appeared on this earth, of course, in Bethlehem as a baby. And then he lived for 33 years. So for 33 years, he appeared to mankind on this earth. That was his first appearance. Now, if you go to the next click, many of you may not realize this, but after he rose from the dead, he had made some appearances for 40 days. He walked this earth after his resurrection, and he made various appearances to various people. In fact, in one of his appearances, 1 Corinthians 15 says, he appeared to over 500 people at one time. So Christ appeared to hundreds and hundreds of people, were eyewitnesses of his resurrection from the dead for 40 days. Now, you know that Christ then ascended. Okay, that's why the line goes up. He ascended in Acts 1, not yet on this. He ascends up to heaven, okay, and he is seated there at the right hand of the Father. He is exalted. He ascends and then he is exalted. He's given a place of exaltation in the heavenly places. Ephesians chapter 1 says, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, and every name that is named in this world, that world which is to come. And so he ascends up here, he's exalted to the right hand of the Father. Now, many of you may not realize this, but Christ made another appearance from heaven. He's already done it. You say, really? You mean he made an appearance? Yeah. Christ made another appearance after he was exalted to the right hand of the Father. You say, when was that? Now let's click it, Mandy. Here it is. Christ appeared from heaven to who? To the Apostle Paul, you see here on this chart, in the book of Acts, chapter number 9. So in Acts chapter number 1, he ascends and he's exalted. In Acts chapter 9, he appears to Paul, who was then known as Saul. He appears to Saul, who was the enemy of God. He was a persecutor of Christianity and Christians. And so Christ appears from heaven to the Apostle Paul very suddenly, without notice. He just appears suddenly. Just boom. And, of course, Paul's on the road to Damascus. He's knocked down there on the road to Damascus. He acknowledges, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. What will you have me do? And, of course, we know then that God commissioned Paul to then take the gospel of grace to the world. Now, the question is this. When is Christ going to make his next appearance? See, he made an appearance here for 33 years. He was crucified, buried, he rose again. He made several appearances for 40 days after that. He ascends back up to heaven, and then he makes another appearance. He appears to Paul, or Saul, back then, okay? He appears to Saul, who we know as Paul, from heaven in Acts chapter 9. So the question I want to pose this morning, when is Christ going to make his next appearance? Well, God's Word tells us exactly when that next appearance is going to be. The next appearance of Christ will be the catching away of the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Christ are all of those who have accepted Him as their Savior. If you have put your faith and your trust in Christ, you're part of the body of Christ. The head is Christ. We are His body. Now, we've been made one with Him. Now, the next appearance that Christ is going to make, if you'll look in your handout at 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord Himself, Paul says, shall descend. Where's He going to descend from, church? He's going to descend from heaven. Paul says, this is the next event. This is the next time that Christ is going to show up. He's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead, and notice the next two words. What are they? In Christ. They're going to rise first. So there's going to be a resurrection when He appears the next time. All those who have died previously in Christ, He said, are going to rise first. Well, what if we're alive when He comes back? Well, look at the next verse. Then we which are alive and remain. In other words, we're still living when Christ returns. We shall be caught up. That's where we get the word rapture. That's what it means. The word rapture means to catch up. And so he says we're going to be caught up together with them. With who? Those who had died in Christ. We're going to be caught up together with them in the clouds. Now notice this. To meet the Lord where, church? And you need to get that. Is he coming down to the earth? Yes or no? No. We're going up from the earth to meet him where? In the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. He says, this should be a source of comfort to you to know that Christ will make another appearance. And when he appears, all of our loved ones who have died in Christ are going to be resurrected first. And then those of us who are alive and we're in Christ, we're going to be caught up with them. And the head will be united with the body of Christ, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now again, sometimes we refer to this as the rapture. I'll go ahead and bring it up here on the screen. This is the next event. This is the next time when Christ is going to appear. Right here, Christ's appearance in the clouds. We are going to be caught up. That's why the arrow is going up from the earth. If this is the earth, we're caught up, okay, and we meet him up there in the air, in the heavens, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, this is very important that you understand here, okay, that this return of Christ in the clouds for those of us who know Christ, this return is a secret rapture, okay? What I mean by that is that the only ones who are going to see this appearing will be believers. Unbelievers, those who are not saved, those who are left behind. You know that book series, Left Behind. Well, those who are left behind, they are not going to see this. This is a mystery catching away. This is a secret coming. This is a secret appearance which he makes only to believers, which makes sense because, you know, we're living in a time period in which we're part of a secret purpose that God kept hidden and kept secret from the foundation of the world, this dispensation of grace. So it only makes sense that when he comes for us, that it would be a secret rapture, a secret return. I did not plan that, all right? I did not ask the lighting men to give me a little effect, all right? For those listening on tape, the lights are flickering, so let's just hold on to our seat here. Now, this is different than what's going to happen here. Okay, is there another click? All right, here we go. Christ is going to appear 7 years after we're caught up here. Christ is going to appear again. Now, this time, every eye is going to see him. Every eye is going to behold him. He's going to come back in wrath. He's going to make war with his enemies. His enemies will see him. Those who are on the earth that are alive and are believers will see him. Okay, everyone's going to see him when he comes back to the earth at his second coming here to earth. But when he comes back for us in the clouds at this appearance, okay, the only ones that will see him will be believers. Which, by the way, it's interesting that when he was born, when Christ was born here in Bethlehem, okay, who saw him? Was it believers or unbelievers? Who was it that saw and recognized Christ? Well, it was believers, wasn't he? He appeared to believers right here, didn't he, when he first came to the earth. Mary, Joseph, the wise men, the shepherds, believers. He appeared to believers when he was born. Herod, an unbeliever. He wanted to see him, but did he see him? No, he did not. So when he first came, he came only to believers. The believers knew who he was and recognized him. But then 30 years after he was born, what did he do? He made a public ministry. He began his public ministry, and after 30 years, at 30 years old, now he appears to everybody. He appears to believers and unbelievers alike. Same thing here. He's going to first appear in the clouds to believers, will be caught up. 7 years later, then he will appear to everybody on the entire earth. And by the way, the rapture is going to be very sudden. Take your Bible and go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And let me show you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He calls it the blessed hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearing. Christ is going to appear. 1 Corinthians 15, look at verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. He said, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a," notice, "in a" what? "A moment." And then he says, "in the twinkling of an eye." Now, how fast is the twinkling of an eye? The twinkling of an eye is actually the reflection of light off of your eye. It's the speed of light. When he comes back right here, it will be at the speed of light. It will happen so suddenly, it will happen so instantaneously, it'll happen at the speed of light. I mean, just boom! It'll happen in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Just as Christ appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus very suddenly, right here. He appeared to him, I mean, just boom, suddenly. It was instantaneous. It was unannounced. It's the exact same way. This event right here we know is the rapture. It'll come unannounced. God's not going to give you a 30-day warning. He's not going to give you a one-year warning. He's not going to give you a 24-hour warning. It's going to happen suddenly. It's going to happen instantaneously. Just as when Paul was knocked down on the road to Damascus, it's going to be a sudden and instantaneous event. And the rapture is the event right here. This is the event that brings this time period of grace to a conclusion. And it completes the body of Christ, and all of the body of Christ, both dead and alive, are raptured. We are caught up to meet our head, Jesus Christ, in the air. So the body of Christ right now is being formed. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're not part of His body. That means when He comes back here, you'll be left behind. You see, it's very important that if you're not in Christ, you need to get in Christ. And the way you get in Christ and become part of His body is not by being a Baptist. And it's not by being any other religion. The way you get in the body is that you understand and realize Christ has done all the work for us on the cross, dying for sin, making atonement for our sin. He died, He was buried, He rose again, and now the only thing that you have to do is just simply put your faith and trust in what He's already done. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to join anything. You don't have to be dunked in anything. You don't have to run around the building 10 times. You don't have to crawl across broken glass on your hands and knees. The only thing is simply for you to rest and to trust in what Christ has done for your sin on the cross. And when you trust in what He's done, when you open up your heart and simply believe with your inner man, that inner person, that inner you, you believe with all your heart that He died for your sin, and you trust Him as your Savior, you become part of that body. And you know what's going to happen? When He comes up here in the heavens, you're going to be part of that body that's caught up to meet Him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But if you're not in Christ, then you'll be left behind. Okay? You'll be left behind for the coming wrath of God on this earth. So this is the next great event right here. This is what's going to conclude the time of grace, and this is what's going to finish and complete the body of Christ, is the rapture. So that's what we're looking for. Now, he says that we're to be looking for it. I wonder how many times last week did you think about it? How many times last week in the hustle and bustle and busyness of life, how many times did it stop and hit you? Wow, Christ could return today. Christ could make His next appearance today. You know, we're to be looking with great, as you would be looking for a dear family member that you haven't seen for years, and you know that they're going to be here. You're looking for their arrival. He says you're to be looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, why is it so important that we be looking for that? Well, I want to give you a few thoughts, and I'm probably only going to get through, because I took a lot of introduction. So let's get at least through the first point this morning. And I want you to look in your handout, and I want you to get this first thing. We are looking with great anticipation. Why? Because when the rapture happens, it's going to end our present time of suffering. It will end our present time of suffering. I want you to go back to Romans chapter number 8. Right before Corinthians is the book of Romans. Just go back one book, and I want you to go to Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter number 8, and put your bookmarker there because we're going to kind of hang out there. We may look at some other verses, so keep your bookmarker in Romans 8. And I want you to look at a great verse, Romans 8, 18. Romans 8, 18. The Apostle Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings," okay, "the sufferings," and then notice the phrase he uses, "the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared." So he's going to take the sufferings of this present time and he's going to compare them to a future time. He says the sufferings of this present time, notice, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be, future tense, the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, why does Paul describe this current time period that we're living in as the sufferings of this present time? I want to explain that to you this morning, and I want you to get a good grasp of this. I think this will really help you in some areas. Now, I want you to think about this. Most of us in here have probably had loved ones that we prayed for to be healed, and they were not healed, and they died, and hopefully they died in Christ, okay? But nevertheless, they died. And we prayed and we sought God for their healing. And my dad was 64 years old and had a massive heart attack. Me, my other brother who's a pastor, my other brother who is a strong believer in Christ, we gathered around him along with my mother and we prayed and prayed and prayed for his healing. And he was in a coma for 2 days and then he died. Now, Paul calls this time period we're living in, he calls it the present time of suffering. Let me explain why. During Christ's earthly ministry to Israel, when Christ came to the earth, was born in Bethlehem, when he began his ministry at 30 years old, he said, "I am sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." You see, when he came to Israel, what did Christ do? Well, keep your bookmarker here, and I want to show you a couple verses. Go to Matthew chapter 4, the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 4. And look at verse 23. Matthew 4, verse 23. Jesus here begins his public ministry. Okay? And so he begins his public ministry here. And in Matthew 4, 23, look what it says. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the" what? The kingdom. He's preaching to Israel. He's saying, "Hey, your kingdom is at hand. Your kingdom is near." And notice what he did as he's preaching that gospel of the kingdom. Notice this. He was healing some manner of sickness. Is that what it says? No. It says he was healing what? All manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Go over to chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. So he comes to the nation of Israel. Remember, they were God's people. He comes to the nation of Israel, his people, his sheep, and he comes with the good news that the kingdom is at hand. And with that good news, he's healing everybody. Look at Matthew 9:35. "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing some sickness." Well, you see how one word makes a difference? "And healing every sickness and every disease among the people." Now, why was he doing that? Here's why. You're going to have to think this morning, okay? Now, I know that's an unusual concept for a lot of churches, but I really want you to think, all right? A lot of churches, you just come in and it's warm and fuzzy and you can check your brains at the door because you're not going to need them that morning, you know. And you leave and you kind of, you know, had a warm and fuzzy emotional time and you go home, feel a little bit better, and then it wears off by Monday morning, you know. But you got to think a little bit. You got to think. The Bible is an awesome book, but you got to rightly divide it and you got to think. Now, why was Christ coming to Israel and healing all manner of sickness and every disease. Here's why. This was part of the kingdom gospel that he taught, that he preached, and that he proclaimed to Israel to be at hand. You see, physical healing from sickness and disease, that was part of God's first covenant that he made with the nation of Israel. If you go, you say, what's this Old Testament, New Testament stuff? In the Old Testament, God made a covenant with a group of people known as Israel. And God entered into a covenant agreement with that nation. And he said, look, these are my commands, these are my statutes, this is what I want you to do so that you'll be a testimony to me, to the nations, and if you will obey me, here's what I'm going to do. And there was an agreement made. Now I want you to look at the screen, and I'm going to show you a few verses. Okay, under the law, this is in, let me make sure I got the reference here, this is Deuteronomy, this is Exodus 15:26. Look at it. And he said, he's talking to Israel, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes. Now look at the next thing. I will put none of these what? Diseases upon thee, which I've brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that what? Healeth thee. That's part of that covenant he made with Israel. Look with me at the next one, Exodus 23:25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take what away? I'm going to take sickness away from the midst of thee. Do we have another one there? Okay, go to the next one. Deuteronomy 7:15. Again, this is part of that first covenant. And the Lord will take away from thee, how much sickness? All sickness. And will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So it was part of that covenant. Now, God, because they broke the first covenant, God said, I'm going to make a new covenant with you. And Christ came and died on the cross and shed his blood so that a new covenant could come, so God could forgive Israel and institute a new covenant with them. Now, when that new covenant comes for the nation of Israel in the future, look what the Bible says. Let's go to it real quick. Can we go to the next thing? This is part of that new covenant that's coming in the future. He says, and the inhabitants shall not say, I am sick. The people that dwell therein shall be forgiven their iniquity. There'll be no more sickness. No more will anybody in Israel say, I am sick. Part of the new covenant. Look at the next verse I've got here. Ezekiel 34:16. God says, listen to this, I will seek that which was lost, I'll bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong, I will feed them with judgment. God says, Israel, this is what I'm going to do for you when I institute that new covenant. Now, if we can do this, go ahead and go to the chart. I think I forgot that. Okay, you'll notice we've got the prophetic program in the Old Testament, and then Christ comes with the kingdom message. That prophetic program is operative here all through the life and ministry of Christ through the Old Testament. And so that healing program is operative because that healing from physical sickness is promises made within those covenants that he made with the nation of Israel. Okay? But now, if we go to the next click, if we can go to the next one, he says that when he comes back and he institutes that new covenant, again, that prophetic program here resumes. Once again, he's going to bring complete healing from all sickness. Now, today we live in a time period, now you need to see this, where the prophetic program here has been interrupted. If we can bring it up, please. We live in a parenthesis, so to speak, okay, where the prophetic program with Israel has been interrupted. Paul calls it the sufferings of this present time. It's a mystery time of grace. We're living in a time in which the prophetic program with Israel has been postponed. It'll pick up again one day, and if we can, I'm not going to go to that yet. But go back to Romans chapter 8. I told you to keep your bookmarker there. And look at Romans 8:22. This is the time period we're living in right now. Romans 8:22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. Notice the next two words there. The whole creation groaneth and travaileth what? in pain together until now. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also. In other words, those of us who know Christ, we're groaning and travailing in pain, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Notice he says, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Now, if you look up on the screen, every day that God extends this time period of grace that we're living in right now, every day that He extends this time period of grace is another day that He has to postpone this kingdom program that He has with the nation of Israel, which will include physical healing. The curse from the earth will be gone, wars will be gone, and all these things. So right now, we're living in a time period where that prophetic program with those promises of physical healing, we're living in a time period where Paul says, no, that's been postponed. We talk about the sufferings of this present time. The sufferings of this present time. You see, if Christ tarries for another 50 years, let's say that Christ tarries His coming for another 50 years. You know what's going to happen to most of us in here? Most of us in here are going to get aches and pains, and we're going to get sick, and we're going to what? We're going to die. Even Benny Hinn. If Christ tarries another 50 years, old Benny is going to get sick and die. All right? And by the way, you know, I make a joke out of that, but you look back, you know, I was just looking at some of this stuff. You look at some of the great, quote, faith healers. They go to the prophetic promises for Israel and say, boy, this is us, and we've got this gift, and we are healing everybody. You look at them, and look at them from the last, the 50s, the 60s, they all got sick and died, just like everybody else. 2 years ago, Oral Roberts' wife fell, hit her head, suffered internal bleeding, went to the hospital, was in a coma for a couple days and died. Oral Roberts, who's, you know, I guess probably as well known as anybody as a great faith healer. What am I saying? Am I condemning them? No. What I'm saying is that this is the reality of this present time of suffering. You see, it isn't that God doesn't love us. Why doesn't God heal me? Why doesn't God heal her? You know, and certainly we know that God can use things and medicine and so forth. You know, I was reading a story here about a couple. Charges have been filed against the parents of a 13-year-old girl who died from a common infection. It could have been cured easily. She died because they believe in faith healing, and they don't believe in any kind of medical treatment whatsoever. And they treat illnesses and injuries with prayer. And so what happened is they're going back, they're claiming some of those verses I showed you on the screen. All right, they're claiming those verses. Oh, they're standing on what the Bible says. They're just not rightly dividing it. They're not seeing what program that belongs in. And so their 13-year-old daughter died at their home from an infection due to diabetes that could have easily been taken care of and cured. You see how serious it is when you don't rightly divide your Bible? It's a serious thing. You say, well, Pastor Dan, is there a healing program for us? Oh, yeah. You better believe it. Let me show it to you. In your handout, it says there is a healing program for the body of Christ. It's called the Day of Redemption. You say, well, what is the Day of Redemption? Can we go back to the chart, please? Let's go ahead and bring it up. Right here. This event that we're talking about called the rapture. Okay? When we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air, that is called the Day of Redemption. In your handout, it says our corruptible bodies will be redeemed, and we are going to be given a glorified body like Jesus Christ. There'll be no more sickness once the rapture comes for the body of Christ. Okay, there'll be no more. We'll be redeemed. We'll be given a glorified body that won't get weak and it won't get sick. And by the way, if you read through Romans 8, if you're there with me, look at this. He said at the end of verse 23, what are we groaning and waiting for? Look at the end of verse 23. What are we groaning and waiting for? The redemption of our what? Body. You see, your spirit has already been regenerated by God's Spirit. Your soul has been justified and it's been declared righteous. But folks, listen. Our bodies are hurting. Our spirit's saved. Our soul's been justified. But our bodies haven't been redeemed yet. We're waiting for the day of redemption. And that's when Christ is going to return and He's going to take us, the purchased possession, and the Bible says that we are going to be caught up, and that is called the day of redemption, when Christ is going to return and He's going to redeem us unto Himself. If you go out here to Sears and you buy a washing machine or whatever and you pay for it, it's yours, right? You pay for it, you purchase it, it's yours. Well, what are you going to do then? Well, you're going to go downstairs and they're going to give you a little ticket and you're going to go and redeem it. And when you redeem it, what are you going to do then? Once you redeem that washing machine, what are you going to do then with it? You're going to take it home. Christ purchased you through His blood. And on the day of redemption, He is going to come back, redeem the purchased possession, you and I, and He's going to take us home. Are you with me? That's what's going to happen. That's the future, seeing what's going to happen. And that's the healing program, is that Christ is going to return, redeem these bodies. Look, in fact, you know, He talks about here in this. I wish I had more time. So many thoughts going through. If you go down to verse 24, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we're waiting for that day of redemption. Verse 26. Now notice, while we're waiting, he says, the Spirit helpeth our, notice, infirmities, our sicknesses, our weaknesses. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, when Christ returns, you are going to receive a glorified body. I got tickled. I heard one old preacher made this statement. He said, when Christ returns, we're going to get a glorified body. And by the way, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. In fact, one more verse and we're done. Go to Philippians chapter number 3 and I'll show you this. This is what's going to happen at the day of redemption. Let me show you what's going to occur at that day of redemption, the rapture, when we're caught up. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice again, we are looking. We're looking for Him. Looking for the Savior. Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His, what kind of body? Glorious body. So that means that when Christ returns, He's going to take these bodies and fashion them like unto His glorious body. Do you see now why it's called our blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ? Right now we are living in a time period that Paul says the sufferings of this present time. Why? Because that prophetic program with that promise of physical healing. And not that God can't heal. Not that God can't use a doctor. Not that God can't... I mean, we've all been sick and gotten better. I think most of us in here, haven't we? We've gotten sick with a cold or with a virus. Or we've gotten sick with maybe something more serious. And we got better. Praise the Lord for that. But the reality is we're going to get sick again one day. See? And all of us one day are going to die. That's the sufferings of this present time. But you see, the sufferings of this present time are going to end here. And at the day of redemption, when Christ redeems us, what a healing program. He's going to take these vile bodies, corruptible bodies that are so subject to sickness and decay and all these things, disease, He's going to take them, He's going to redeem them, and He's going to change them like unto His glorious body. We're going to receive a glorified body like our Savior, Jesus Christ. And that is going to be some kind of day when that happens. And folks, listen, that's the next time when Christ is going to appear. We'll be right then. And boy, what a exciting day that's going to be. Looking for that blessed hope. Do you realize there are no signs that have to happen for that day to happen? Do you know we're not sitting around waiting for something that has to happen before the rapture can come? Did you know that it is a secret coming for believers in which there are no signs that have to happen before that happens? In other words, what I'm saying is, the rapture could occur any time. It could happen in the next 60 seconds. It could happen at any moment. And when it happens, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the speed of light, you and I are going to be caught up, and we are going to meet our Savior in the air. Right now, we're living in the sufferings of this present time, but when that rapture happens, whew, that'll all be over. And like we sung, no more crying there, no more dying there, no more death, no more disease, no more sickness. Man, when we're caught up, we're going to get a glorified body like Jesus. Now, the rapture involves more than you just being caught out and just escaping sickness. The rapture involves a whole lot more than that, and there's a whole lot more to it. And next week we're going to get into that, and I'm going to show you what the plan is even beyond that. When the rapture occurs, there's a plan God has for you and I. It's not that we're just going to float around up there on clouds, you know, and strum a harp and kind of wonder what to do, you know. When He raptures us out and we get that glorified body, the reason why He changes us and the reason why He gives us that glorified body is because He's got a purpose for us to fulfill out there. And I'll show you that next week, okay? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer with our heads bowed.